Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Ayin Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 15 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Dalet. On the side of our Gemara, in the margin, you see one of the special features of Gemara markings, Shas Ozer, the topic heading. We call it the Nosei. It reads, Shita Saba Shol Bishtuki, the opinion, the approach of Abba Shol to the category that we have spoken about of questionable pedigree that we call the Shtuki, Hoya Kiri Loi Baduki. He had a different name for that category, called it the Baduki. The Boitkim Es Imoi, we check out. Bodek is to investigate, to check out the mother, the Oimeres, and she may reveal to us, Lekosher Nivalti, that have no fear, my son, my child, is not a mamzer because I was impregnated by a person that's kosher. Ne'emenes, she is believed. The Gemara. Abba Shol hoya kore lishtuki beduki. Bear in mind that the shtuki was an individual whose mother we know. In other words, we know that she's okay. She's a single woman. And he, Abba Shol, refers to her as a beduki. My beduki. And notice we have a long question here. Ilemo sheboikin es imoi voimeres lekosher nivalti ne'emenes. If Abba Shol's point is to tell us that we check out the mother, we ask the mother regarding the man who is responsible for this pregnancy and the birth of this child, and she reveals to us that he was kosher, that she is believed. So the term beduki is a reference to our questioning the mother. Well, then, if Abba Shol is telling me that after questioning her and she reveals to us that she was impregnated by a kosher individual, come on, Karabu Gamliel, is Abba Shol telling us or reporting to us an opinion like that of Rabbi Gamliel? Tanino Chadazimno. Well, that's already been taught in Tanaic literature. There would be no need for Abba Shol to appear in our Mishnah once it's been taught already, Disnan. Hoysu Muberes, a woman was pregnant. The Omru Law, and we asked her, my Tivo Shel Ubarza, what's the nature of this child? Terms of, is he kosher, is he a mamzer? Omra lohem, ish ploni v'kohen hu. The woman says that the child is from so-and-so who is a kohen, meaning kohen is miuchas. He's someone of pure pedigree. Rabon Gamliel v'Revi Eliezer omrim ne'emenish. These authorities say she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Lo Mipia Anu Chayin. We don't live according to her words. In other words, we don't rely on what she says. The Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel Halach Gamliel. And Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, says we rely on Rabbi Gamliel. We rule like Rabbi Gamliel. So what is the necessity of having Abba Shol in our Mishnah telling us essentially the same thing, that we ask the mother and what she says we rely on? That's Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. The Gemara says, Chado lahachshir bo, v'chado lahachshir bevita. One is saying that the woman is kosher. In other words, a woman is subject to being rendered unfit to marry a Kohen if she had relations with a person of questionable pedigree, of a problematic pedigree. So when she says Lekosher Nevati, she's maintaining her own status of kashrus, of acceptability. The other opinion that we have, we had Abba Sholom Eliel, the other one who says ne'emenes, that she's believed, that's in order to establish proper pedigree for the daughter, for the child that's born. Well, so I need the two. I need one to establish, one of these Tanoim is saying ne'emenes to establish her own purity, and the other is to establish the child's purity. Rashi across from here says, Chano lahachshibo, de rabban Gamliel, de lohemino el liatzmo, shaloi nischalalo, min hatrumo. Avolo lahachshir oisei ubar. Rabban Gamliel's statement that we believe her is only for the woman herself. When she says, I was participant in intimacy with a kosher person, that means she as a daughter of a Kohen can continue eating truma. She's not rendered unfit because of an illicit bia, an illicit intimacy, which would otherwise have rendered her unfit to eating truma. Not so if she says l'kosher nevalti, I had intimacy with a kosher person. But that statement, as far as Rabban Gamliel is concerned, sheds no light on the unborn, or on the child that's born. She'im bas hi lo tinaseh l'kohen. If a girl is born, we're not going to allow her to marry a kohen. A kohen has to be very careful whom he marries, and we're not going to go on the mother's word regarding the daughter. Abba Shol, mach shirach mebito. Abba Shol, when he says beduki, and that means we check the mother out, that response, that lakushin evalti on the part of the mother, is sufficient or is powerful enough to shed light on the child as well. Our Mishnah was focusing on the children. We continue in the Gemara. Honicha, things work out well, that meaning that we require Abba Shol. Leman de Omar, ledivrei hamachshiba poisel babita. According to the approach with regard to Rabban Gamliel, who is machshiba, meaning he okays the mother, the woman herself, who says that lekosher nevalti is sufficient only for her. Posel babita means it's insufficient for the daughter. So Abba Shol comes and tells me that the mother's proclamation or declaration that lekosher nevalti carries over to the child also. But according to the approach that interprets Rabbi Gamliel or describes Rabbi Gamliel as not only machshir bo, that when she says lekosher nevalti, that I am okay, the woman herself, but the child also is given a clean bill of pedigree, then Abba Shol mai also lashminon. Abba, it would seem according to this approach in Rabban Gamliel that Rabban Gamliel takes care of everything, not only the woman herself but her child as well. What does Abba Shol add? Answer: Da Abba Shol adifa mid Rabban Gamliel. Abba Shol goes further than Rabban Gamliel. De'i mehosam havi amino. Had I just the case described by Rabban Gamliel, I would have thought in that case we are lenient and grant pedigree purity. The roiv ksherim etzla. There you were talking about a case of the woman who said lekosher nevalti. First of all, she was unmarried, and as such, she has the option of marrying any one of many men. And additionally, the city that Rabban Gamliel was describing, that Rabban Gamliel's opinion appeared in, was a case where the population were majority kosher individuals. But Take for example a woman who is an arusa. She's married, and she says that the child is from the orus. Of course, as we've said so many times in the past, an orusa is a married woman who hasn't yet consummated her marriage, and she tells us that her pregnancy is from the husband. Okay, that is a case of rov psulim. What do we mean by that? Once you say that she's married, her options of men to be with are extremely limited. They're exclusive to her husband alone. She's a married woman. So the only chance of her being kosher and her child being kosher would be the intimacy of her husband, the orus. So being that her chances of kashrus are so limited, maybe we wouldn't believe her. Tzricha, therefore I need Abba Shol to tell me that even under circumstances like that, that you have rov psulim, she is nevertheless believed. Omar rova halocha ka Abba Shol. And the Gemara concludes, ruling like Abba Shol. The Mishnah. The Mishnah, you will see, gives us rules concerning matters of different types of pedigree, where is there permission to marry one another and when not. Kol ho asurin lovo ba kohol, mutorin lovo ze boze. All those that are prohibited in marrying rank and file Jewish people can marry one another. Examples, a mamzer, a shtuki. Rashi points out, very importantly, that the example we just cited, mamzer with a shtuki, is they can marry one another, even though one is definitely unfit, the mamzer, and the shtuki is a suffik. Is there not a possibility that the shtuki is actually kosher, and by this ruling we're allowing a mamzer with someone who's kosher? Okay, so be it. Nevertheless, we allow it. Once again, a throwback to that which we've learned in the past, the prohibition of a mamzer is only when it's an issue of a kahal vadai, a definite kosher individual. But when it's a suffolk, that was not prohibited to the mamzer. So that's the first opinion in the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda Oser. Rabbi Huda prohibits. Rabbi Lezer Omer. Vadoin bevadoin muter. Mamzerim with other mamzerim, obviously, or mamzerim with nesinim, people from the givoinim that were rendered unfit to marry into the Jewish people. So they can marry with one another. Those are definite problems with one another. Vadoin besvekon, svekon bevadoin, svekon besvekon, osir. When it's a question of mixing of a couple, one is a definite problem, and the other is a suffik, a doubtful problem, like the case of mamzer with a shtuki, or even two shtukis with one another, that's svekon besvekon, that's not allowed. As we alluded to before, when you have two suffiks, one might in fact be totally kosher and the other is totally unkosher. How can you allow such a marriage? So given that those are the possibilities, this opinion, the opinion of Rebbe Lazar, is ruling they are prohibited with one another. V'elu hein hasfekos, shtuki, asufi, v'kusi. These are the sfekos, and as far as what is the issue of suffik with regard to a kusi, that we'll have to wait for the Gemara to deal with. The Gemara opens with a volcano shape. On the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh, a structural note, shlavim, bebiur, pshat, bemishnah. We're going to go through stages in trying to offer an explanation for the Mishnah. And the squiggle underline that you see here is used to highlight hatsa'ois shenidchois, suggestions that will be rejected. Eventually, we're going to see a double underline. The very end of this omid, you see Rav Yehuda. Those are, those highlight answers. You have Rav Yehuda, and then when we get to omid Beis, we will see a second approach. The Gemara. My kol ha'asurin lavoi ba'kohol. What is meant by that? All those prohibited to enter into the Jewish people. Ilemo mamzeri unesini shtuki vasufi. Well, hotonole resha. We already had that in the beginning of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, mamzeri unesini shtuki vasufi mutorin lavo zeboze. So what do I need this Mishnah to tell me that which we've already learned? Once again, that's if you're saying that Asur and Lova Bakal are these categories. Vesu. Rabbi Yehuda Ozer. Ahei. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda was, quote, was appeared and said, it's forbidden. Ahei, what's he forbidding? He lemo avadoin bisfekon, the prohibition of a definite problem with a doubtful problem. Well, ha mitekotoni seifa, that issue of vadon besveikon is spoken of in the at the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Omer, vadon bevadoyin mutter, vadon besveikon, sveikon besveikon oser. Now we've dashed underlined the key phrase. You see vadon besveikon oser, that's Rabbi Eliezer's presentation. Michlal de Rabbi Yehuda lo sfir olay. Well, Rabbi Yehuda appears in the same Mishnah. It must be that he doesn't agree with that. V'chitema, Rabbi Yehuda oiser a ger b'mamzeres. You might say that Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, who comes to prohibit, he is prohibiting the marriage of a convert with a mamzeres. This, by the way, is an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we've seen earlier. He was on daf ayin beis with that approach. Midi ger b'mamzeres kotoni. Does our Mishnah specify those? The ger with mamzeres? Kol hu asur in lovo b'kol kotoni. Mishnah has a broader prohibition. All those that are prohibited to enter the community. And Rashi adds, the ger is not one of those. So, our Mishnah doesn't deal with the case of ger b'mamzeres. So that to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda Oser is referring to the case of Gerbe Mamzeres, there was no, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying that that is prohibited, the Mishnah doesn't allude to the case of a Ger to begin with. Whereas one might have thought, according to the suggestion, that the Tanakama was allowing several different cases, including ger with mamzeres, Rabbi Yehuda would come along and say, no, ger with mamzeres is usher. But was the Tanakama himself talking about that case? Was the Tanakama alluding to that case, allowing it, which would then justify Rabbi Yehuda coming and prohibiting it? No, the Tanakama wasn't alluding to the case of Gerbe Mamzeres, because the Tanakama spoke about Kolo Asurin Lavo Bakohol, which does not include the Ger. Omar Rav Yehuda. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Rav Yehuda comes to introduce and answer how to make sense of the Mishnah. Hochi Ko'omar. The triangle you can see on the side under the Mivneh highlights Hochi Ko'omar, Chuvos Lahazbir Pshat B'Mishnah. Simanu Im Pasim. You'll notice as we go through the this section of Gemara, there are lines under the words Hamilim Asurim Umutorim. Those words are going to deserve special attention on our part. Kedei La'akov Achrei HaKlal De kolo asurim, etc. mutorim. There's going to be a rule stated, which has a type of, has a nusuch to it. It has a special, say, formula. And the formula will include this, let's say, interplay between Asurim versus Mutarim. So in order to keep track of the suggestions along the way, it's important to focus on those words. I know that sounds a little abstract, but as we go through the Gemara, it will become much clearer. So we are looking for pshat in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Hochi komar. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda is, when he says Rabbi Yehuda Oser, he is going on the case of Ger b'Mamzeres. In other words, the Tanna Kamma did make reference to them. Ah, the Tanna Kamma said, Kol Asum Lovo Bakohol. Well, the word Bakohol doesn't mean the Jewish people. The word Bakohol, you'll see, is a reference to the community of Kohanim, the Kahal Kahuna. And when you deal with the Kahal Kahuna, Gerim are prohibited. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Gioras, a convert. So Rabbi Yehuda is a reflection, is a response to the Tanna Kamma. What did he hear? So let's continue in the Gemara. Thusly, we are to understand the Mishnah, and that's why we have the next few lines in a frame. It's as if it's the Mishnah. Kol ho asurim lovo pekahal kahuna. All those that cannot marry into the kahuna, my nihu, what are who is referred to? Kiores pchusa mibashal shanav yamecha udalo kripshim ben yochai. A girl who was converted to Judaism under 3 years of age, to suggest or to describe her as being prohibited to the kahuna is not in line with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says that if a girl is converted under 3 years of age, she's muteres to the kahuna. But in the meantime, we're assuming that a girl under 3 years of age who was converted is considered prohibited to the kahuna. So, mutarin lavoi zebozet. That means that gioris would be allowed to marry a mamzer. Just a mamzer is also someone who is prohibited to the kahuna. The Rashi, top line, hochi komar, klomar li oilom rebuta gerba mamzeres koi. As we explained before, Rabbi Yehuda Oser in the Mishnah is going on that case of Gerba Mamzeres. The Shomalei Tanna Kamma Dairi Boy heard the Tanna Kamma speaking about that. Vahai Bakohol de Koamris, the Bakohol, Asko Asum Lova Bakohol that was in the Mishnah, Kal Kahunahu, the Kain Oser Begiras, Afil Chusim Bashalushanim, the Lab Basbiahi, Vien Shom Mishum Chashash Znus. The reference to the Gioras is even if she was under 3 years of age, where halachically she's not considered fit for intimacy. And there's no chashash, there's no suspicion of her having had illicit sexual relations. Dichtiv kim sus mizera beis Yisrael. Nevertheless, even though those chashoshos don't apply, there is the sheet of the Chachomim that all converts, even under 3 years of age, are prohibited to the kahuna. Rashi continues. Udaloka Rabbi Shimon de'omar le'kamon v'pirkin geres plusa mibashal l'shkshera le'kuna v'hochi komar. And now, what Rashi does is he presents the Mishnah in the way it's supposed to be understood according to Rabbi Yehuda, who introduced the triangled reading of the Mishnah. Kol ha'asurim lovo b'kal kahuna umayinihu. We skip the brackets for a second. Gioras shepusa mibasha l'shonim v'kol shekein yisera basha l'shonim mutoren hanoch asurim gioros Umamzerim unesini ushtuki lavo zeboze. Let's go over what we read. We skipped a section. We said all those that are asum lavo bakal kahuna umayinihu demar bihai klola Yeser al Horishonim Sha'asurim B'Kahal Yisrael. What does this klal, when we refer to the Kahal Kahuna, who is being included beyond the original Asurim Bakohol, the original individuals that were usher to marry into the rank and file Jewish people, like a Mamzer and a Nosin, who additionally is referred to when we speak about those prohibited into the Kahal Kahuna? Answer: Giores Shepchusim Ba'al Shaloshonim, the Kol Shekein Yisrael Ba'al Shaloshonim. This is a convert. Now, a convert is not usher to the general Kahal. The convert is usher to the Kahal Kahuna. And our Mishnah is telling us about a girl, even if she was converted under 3 years of age. Mutorin, Hanoch, Asurim, Gioros. These Asurim, these convert women, are Mutoros, Umamzerim, Unesini, Ushtiki, Lavo, Zeboze, to marry one another. You notice we have a bracketed section. Right after the bracketed section, you see a bow tie marking. On the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh, the bow tie is featured. Uklolahu, is this a reliable rule? And these bow ties, as you go through the Gemara, are Kushios al Hatshuvos shel Hochi Komar. Shabohen HaGemara Nistol Litzor Klal Chadosh. We already explained the Hochi Koma with the triangle marking, where the Gemara is trying to establish a new rule for explaining the Mishnah. And once we establish that rule, as we've already done, the number one was called Sum Lova B'Kal Kahuna. We established a rule like that. We're then going to be raising questions on that rule. And the diamond marking that you'll see highlights the Nekudas HaKoshi Shebesoich HaKlolim Shehutza'u, the specific, say, points of difficulty in the newly constructed rules that were given. Once again, when we speak about newly constructed rules, these are all part of our attempts to make sense of the Mishnah. To review, what does Rav Yehuda Oser refer to? Rav Yehuda Oser in the Mishnah refers to that which the Tanakhama allowed. What did the Tanakhama allow? He allowed the marriage of a Gioras, even including Gioras under 3 years of age, and certainly over 3 years of age. Those type of women, converts to Judaism, the Tanakhama allowed to marry a mamzer. Comes along Rav Yehuda Oser, no, I don't allow the Gioras to marry a mamzer. So we've explained the Mishnah. As we said, after the brackets, the Gemara is going to challenge that rule. In the meantime, we have a bracketed section. And the starred note on the side says, Besocha Sagrayim, Haloas Hatsa Udechiyosa. There's the raising of a suggestion and a rejection. Acharei Asagrayim, HaGemara Makshe, Ala Tshuva Shalachi Komer. After the brackets, the bow tie will be a challenge to that which was presented above, following the triangle. Now the Gemara, in the brackets. We took pains to explain our Hochi Komar as not in line with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai happens to hold that even though in general the Kohen is prohibited in marrying a convert, however, if the girl was converted under 3 years of age, according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, a Kohen can marry such a convert. But Rav Yehuda, the Amora, did not want to set up the Mishnah in accordance with Rav Shimon ben Yochai. And that brings rise to the Gemara's question. V'nukma b'vashol shonim v'yom echad v'afilu l'Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. When speaking about the Gioras, why not speak about the Yoros, the girl was converted at 3 years, not less, at 3 years of age. And such a girl we would describe as Asura Bekahalkuna. And by doing that, we would set up our Mishnah in accordance with Rav Shimon bar Yochai. The Gemara says, in Cain, if you were to set up the Mishnah like that, Mitzida Tavra. Tavra means broken, rejected, knocked down. If you're going to set up the Mishnah like that, it's the rejection of that is right to its side. It's right there. And the Gemara explains itself. Ela taimo debas shaloshanim v'yomechad. Why is she also to the Kalkuna, if you set it up like Rosh Hashanah? Because she converted at 3 years and a day, meaning a full 3 year old, complete 3 years of age. However, less than that, if she had converted under 3 years of age, demuteres lavo b'kalkuna, a girl like that then would according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, would have been allowed to marry into the community of Kehanim. Asura lavo ze boze. According to our rule, we said those that are usur to the Kalkuna are muter lavo ze boze. It's also understood that those that are muter to the Kalkuna are usur to one another. Is that going to be true? You'll see that's actually not true. Haray, p'chuso mibashal l'shanav yomechot, l'rav Shimon bar Yochai, the girl who converted under 3 years of age, according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, demuteres lovo b'kalkuna, umutoros lovo zeh bozeh. She is nevertheless also allowed to marry the other disqualified people, like a mamzer. If you focus on our underlining method, the rules that we're presenting to you have to have, we'll call it positive and negative, or negative and positive. In other words, muteres and asura, or asura and muteres. According to our rules, if they're usher to one category, then they would be mutter in the other category. The problem with setting up the Mishnah like Rosh Hashanah Chai is that when you focus on the girl under 3 years of age, she is, according to Rosh Hashanah Chai, allowed to the Kalkuna, we are not able to say that she would be Asura to Lovo Zeh Bozeh, Asura to Mamzerim. That's simply not true. And I just want to emphasize again the point at which the attempt to set up like Shum B'choy is rejected is right before the end of the brackets where we dashed underline of Shum B'choy demuteres, we underline demuteres lavo b'kalkuna and umutoros lavo zeh bozeh. So you've created a situation which the Gemara referred to before as tshuva b'tzida, where the rules that were stated are not going to figure, because according to our rules, if they're usher to the kalkuna, then they're mutter lavo zeh bozeh. If they're usher to the kalkuna, if they're mutter to the kalkuna, then they're also lavo zeh bozeh. But you see here a case of someone that's mutter to kalkuna, and yet mutter lavo zeh bozeh. Call that two positives. That's not the way the rules are constructed. Let's continue. So what have we said? We have said the top line. The understanding of the mission is, once someone is osur lovo b'kalkuna, and that includes all cases of converted girls, even under 3 years of age, so then they're muterim lovo zeh bozeh. And when you look at our markings on the first line of the Gemara, the word Asurim was underlined, and the third line at the end of the line, the word Mutarin was underlined. We want, in order to verify that answer, whatever we continue with has to have the same model, the same structure. Asur and Mutar. Let's question things. Here we have a long question. Uklolahu, is it really, is that a rule? Decholo asurim lovo bakalkuna mutar lovo ze boze? That all those who are prohibited to the kalkuna are allowed to marry one with the other. Check this out. Vahare, and we already pointed out the diamond highlights the point of difficulty. Vahare, almona ugrusha v'chalola v'zona. A widow, a divorcee, a chalola, a girl whose father was a Kohen who married a grusha, v'zona. All of these are women de asurin lavo begalkuna. By the way, almona is a reference to the marriage with a Kohen Gadol, so that's why she's in this list. These are women that have Kohen restrictions. And notice we underline the asurin. And yet, the asurin lavo zebozeh. You can't have any of these women marrying a mamzer. So, we see already a problem with the rule. According to the original rule, remember the underlinings above? If it's asurin lavo bakalkuna, then they would be allowed with one another. Here you have a difficulty with that rule. Here you have asurin lavo bakalkuna, and yet there are asurin lavo zebozeh. Let's continue. Vesu ha mutar asur. The flip side, meaning if you have people that are mutar to the kalkuna, then they would be asur lavo zebozeh. They would be asur to the mamzeres. So as we said before, we have to have positive and negative. Vahare, check this out. Ger shemutar b'kehenes. Here I have an example of someone that's mutar to the kalkuna. A ger is allowed to marry kehenes. Kehenes is part of kehalkuna. She's the daughter of a kohen. A ger can marry a kehenes. Umutar b'mamzeres. Notice the underlinings. You don't have a case here of, you have a problem. We said if it's mutter to the kalkuna, it should be osir to the mamzeres. Here it's not so. So we've got to go back to the drawing board. Hello, my Rav Nosson Baroshaya, hochi komar. So Rav Nosson Baroshaya gives us his version, his explanation of the Mishnah. That, and he represents the second. That's why the triangle number two appears to the side of the Gemara text. Kol shekayin osur lisa es bito umai nihu ger shenosa gyoras uchareba lezer ben yankiv mutorin lovo zebozeh. Anyone that a kohen would not be allowed to marry the daughter. And what is referred to? Who is the one that a Kohen cannot marry the daughter? That's a case of a ger shenosa gioras. A man and a woman who both had converted to Judaism in accordance with Reb Elazar ben Yankov's approach. So even though the two parents are Jewish, but they're newcomers to Judaism, a Kohen cannot marry their daughter, according to that opinion, Reb Elazar ben Yankov. Mutorin lovo ze boze. So they can marry then one another. In other words, according to this, child of such a union would be allowed to marry a mamzer. That's mutorin lovo ze boze. We should point out that these rules, when we say kol shekayin osur lisa esbito, and we add here the case of ger shenosa gyores, that daughter is prohibited, That's in addition to the daughters of Mamzerim, the daughters of Nesinim, the daughters of those that are also to the general Jewish population as well. We take a look at the Rashi. Elo Amar of Noson, Lo Temo. The Rashi that we're looking at is a little more than about halfway down the page. Elo Amar of Noson, Lo Temo, Kolo Asurim. Don't present it as we did originally in the first triangle. Kolo Asurim, all those that are prohibited to the Kalkunot. The Tikshilach Almona Lekoin Godol, that raised the problem of the case of Almona Lekoin Godol, which was usher to the Kahuna, but it's also usher to Mamzerim. The Tikshilach Ger Midukya, and the diuk that we made before when we said ha mutter osir, and we found that did not hold up when we subjected it to the gear test. I'm referring specifically to the second diamond that we had above. Elo hochi komar tanakama kol shebito Asura Lakuna. Not Kolo Asurim, but Kol Shebito Asura Lakuna. Anyone whose daughter would be also to the Kuna, Umayniu de Moisifai Klol al Asurim Yisrael, what does this klal, what does this general category add to those that are also to Yisrael? Ger Shenosa Gioras, Kribalos Ben Yankiv, Diomer Masisin, Ger Shenosa Gioras Bito Psul Lakuna. Well, mutarim lavoze boze vahainu. Well, we just said if you can't marry the daughter of such an individual, well, that individual be mutarim lavoze boze vahainu ger mutar b'mamzeres u'mamzeres bo de'ilu beger shenoso yisraelis lo motzis leukma. To attempt to set up the new rule as including a ger that married Yisraelis, that will not work. And to say that ger shenos Yisraelis, and then to say that the kohen is also to marry his daughter, that we can't do. Lo maslukmo deman shamisle domar kohen also lisa bito. Whoever said such a thing that a ger that who married Israelis, the kohen cannot marry his daughter. Rabbi Yehuda, the Omer Masis and Bas Ger Zocher Kebas Cholo Zocher, the only one that says such a thing, that the daughter of a Ger who married Israelis cannot marry a kohen, that's Rabbi Yehuda. When we just say for Rabbi Yehuda, from the fact that in the Sefer Rabbi Yehuda appears, the Katan Rabbi Yehuda, Oser, Reisha Lav Rabbi Yehuda. Right? The Reisha, the beginning of the mission, is not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Lahachi Mukmi Lo Karabalozer Ben Yankiv, and that's why within this second triangle, we're setting up the rule in accordance with Rabbi Yankiv. V'shamei Rabbi Huda l'tana kamo de'is le'kahal gerim lo ikri kahal. And Rabbi Huda heard the Tana Kamo, who said that the kahal gerim, the community of gerim, is not considered kahal. And as a result of that, a ger would be allowed to marry a mamzer, because a mamzer is prohibited only to marrying into the kahal. Upala Golei, and Rabbi Yehuda comes along and argues on that point. Whereas the Tana Kama was saying that a ger can marry a mamzer, Rabbi Yehuda does not allow that. And all of that fits into this new reading. Once again, we want to point out our underlining. Notice the hochi karma, the triangle, and the new, let's say, the restated rule. You've got osir and mutter. If the kohen cannot marry the daughter, so then that kind of person is mutorim lovo zebozeh. That kind of person can then marry with mamzerim. But now we bring this into question, and here we have a long question marking. The bow tie, as we saw before, uklolahu. Is this truly a rule? Namely, the kolkein osir, the kol shekein osir lisa is bito mutarim lovo zeh bozeh. That he whose daughter cannot marry a kohen would be allowed, that man would be allowed to marry amongst the other psulim, like a mamzer. And now the diamonds, as we said before, focus in, they highlight the problem with this rule. Hare cholol shenoso bas Yisrael. A cholol, the man is a cholol. His father was a kohen, but he married a grusha, he married a divorcee, and the child is a cholol. So this man had such parents, and the cholol married a bas Yisrael. They have a daughter. The kohen also lisa bito. The daughter of a cholol is a chalola. She cannot marry a kohen. But yet, v'asurinami lovo zeh bozeh. A cholol is also with a mamzeres. So notice that once again, the underlinings. We said, in order for the rule to be maintainable, you've got to have positive and negative, or negative and positive. Here you have, in the case of this diamond, we have usser usser. The Gemara says, lo kashya, this is not a difficulty, because this is Reb Dostoy ben Yehuda. Our Mishnah is in accordance with Reb Dostoy ben Yehuda. His opinion is that Benois Yisrael are mikvitara lechalolim, that a cholol, a male cholol that impregnates a bas Yisrael, and they have a daughter, that the mother, the bas Yisrael, that mother, she's not herself a cholol, she's a regular, fine pedigree Jewess. Her daughter, even if it's with a cholol, is muteris to marry the kahuna. So then, as far as the rule would be concerned, the case of the cholol shenosa bas Yisrael, the kohen is not osir lisa bito. The kohen is allowed to marry bito. Oh, very good. Then you have muter osir. As we said, a cholol is osir to a mamzeres. Very nice. You have a case of the daughter of the cholol is muter to the kuna. So he, that kind of person, that father is osir, lovo zeh bozeh, would be osir to a mamzeres. But we still have another problem. V'harei, cholol shenosa cholola. Here, both parents are halolim. The woman in this case is the daughter of a kohen who married a grusha. So have a cholol with a halola. The kohen osir lisa bito. Here you don't have a mother that's a mikvitara. The mikvitara was, of course, an analogy, the source of purification of the problem of halolas. Here you don't have that. But the mother herself is a halola. And the kohen is also to marry the daughter of parents like this, cholol with halola. The osir nami, the cholol is himself, though, also lovo zeh bozeh. He can't marry the other psulim like a mamzeres. So here's a problem. Here, as far as noticing, again, the underlinings. Here you have osir osir. But according to our rule, you'd have to have the construction of osir Mutter, or the other way around, Mutter Osir. Vesu. And furthermore, the inference, we said according to the rule, that which is Osir to marry the daughter of such a person, so it's Mutter Lovo Zeh Bozeh, the inference. And if it's Mutter to marry the daughter of such an individual, that individual be Osir to a Mamzeres. Is that true? Vahare Gershon Osir Bas Yisrael. The male convert married a Jewish woman, Jewish pedigree woman. They had a daughter. V'koin muter lisa bito. The daughter can marry, the daughter of that ger who married a bas Yisrael can marry a kohen. U'mutorin lovo zeh bozeh. The ger is allowed to marry the other psulei kol, the mamzeres, for example. So here, again, focusing on the underlining, you've got muter muter. But according to the rule, it's got to be muter osir. Elo Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rabo Baravua Hocha Mamzer Meachosu Mamzer Meishes Ish Iko Binayu. We have in our Mishnah the problem of trying to understand the Tanakhama and also understanding what Reb Yehuda Oser was going on. So we look at the Rashi, the lower part of the page. Mamzer Meachoso Krisus. That means that brother and sister that have intimacy with one another, there's a Kores penalty. Rashi goes on, Mamzer Meishas Ish Misois. That's Misois. Misois based in. It's a punishable by court execution. Not just Kores, but court execution. These are different kinds of mamzerus. Mamzerus that come from a union that's punishable by Kores. You've got mamzerus that results from a union that's punishable by court execution. The Rashi continues, Iko binayu. Lav beger efligu. Right away, you see that this third approach, the third triangle approach, is a departure from the previous approaches, which had made reference to converts. So lav beger efligu, they don't argue concerning gear. Ela de kosovar yesh mamzer mechayvi krisis. The hochi komar. The Tanakhama is saying that all those that are born from forbidden family relations, they're mamzerim. Those mamzerim, whether they be mamzerim from a kores level penalty, mamzerim from a court execution level penalty, level offense, they can marry one another. That's what we just read. Mutar lavo zebuza hani chayve krisus bivnei chayve mises. Kegon, eshesish is an example of a chayve mises bezdin. The kula mamzerim heim. They're all mamzerim. Verbuta oser lavo chayve krisus bivnei chayve mises. Reb Yehuda Oser in the Mishnah is saying not so quick, not to clump all or to lump together all the different kinds of mamzerus. The Kosovar ein mamzer el mechayvi misois v'taim furish b'yivomis. Reb Yehuda has a unique opinion, and that is that mamzerus results only from illicit intimacy that carries with it a court execution level punishment, not chores. For example, the according to Reb Yehuda, brother and sister that have intimacy and produce a child, that would not be labeled a mamzer. So now we go back to the Gemara, triangle number three. Rav Nachman Yitzchok tells us that the classification of what is a mamzer, mamzer me'achos, mamzer me'eshesish, iko binayu, that is going to be their difference. Tanakama sovar, afilu mamzer me'achos unami havi mamzer. Even a child born from a kores relationship is considered a mamzer. And as a result, mutoren lovo izebozeh, the mamzer who's a reflection of Kores, a mamzer is a reflection of a Misas based in, they can marry one another. That's the Tanakhama's opinion, because he lumps together all of them as being categorized as mamzerim. Reb Yehuda Sovar, may Eishas Ish have a mamzer. Eishas Ish is an example of Misas based in. From that type of union, you create mamzerus. May achoso lo have a mamzer. But from achoso, which is a kores type penalty, that does not create mamzerus. So we cannot allow the child of a, but just using the immediate examples, the child of a brother-sister union to wed the child of a married woman who became pregnant from another man, from other than her husband. At this point, the Gemara raises a question, which will lead us into a new approach. What's the question? My komashmolon. If Rav Nachman's approach to the Mishnah is accurate, what's the big news? Tanina. These opinions in what defines a mamzer is information that has already been taught in another Tanaic source. Ezo mamzer. Kol shu b'lo yavo div Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva's opinion we've discussed in the past. He's not really the focus of our attention right now. But he says mamzeres is formed by any union that is, let's put it this way, almost any union that is prohibited, even if it's prohibited to the tune of a mere negative command. Something that's prohibited but doesn't carry with it kores, and certainly not misas based in. That's Rabbi Akiva's extreme opinion. Shimana Timni Omer, Kol Shechayovan Olav kores bidei shamayim, v'alocha kedvar of any type of prohibited union that carries with it a kores penalty, which, by the way, includes misos based in, all of those are considered mamzerim. Oh, so that was that opinion, Shimon Timni, was the way Rav Nachman tried to present the Tana Kama. And finally, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kol Shechayim Lo Misas based in. What's a mamzer? Only that which carries with it the child of a union that would be punishable by court execution. Only that kind of child is a mamzer. And so that opinion, according to our triangle number 3, Rav Nachman, he wanted that to be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Nachman, triangle number 3, is merely presenting his explanation of our Mishnah, which in effect is redundant. All of that information has already been taught. You have Shimon HaTimni, Rabbi Yeshua, both of them reflecting these two opinions that Rav Nachman attempted to present. Elo Omar Rova, Ger Amoni Umoavi Iko Binayu. The point of difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda concerns a convert from the Amon and Moavi people. And specifically, when we speak about a Ger Amoni Moavi, we talk about a man from Amon or Moav that converted to Judaism. Now, we know that a male who converts from Amon or Moav cannot marry. He might accept Judaism, but he cannot marry a woman from the rank and file, pure pedigree Jews. The Gemara goes on, the Hochi Komar. Kol ho'asurim lovo bakohol. All those that cannot marry into the Jewish people, umai nihu, and who are we referring to? Ger amoni umoavi, mutorin lovo zevoze. They can marry a mamzer. Well, ihochi, my rebuta oser. If this triangle number 4 approach is the explanation of the beginning of our Mishnah, how do you figure the continuation where it says Rebuta Oser, Rebuta prohibits? He wouldn't prohibit a Ger Amoni from marrying a Mamzer. After all, as Rashi says, the prohibition of upon Mamzerim is marrying into the Kohol. Pasuk says, Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem. These people, Ger Amoni and Moavi, definitely not Kohol. They're not fit to enter the Kohol, the community of Jewish people. So that approach just doesn't hold any water. The Gemara continues with a brand new approach, Hochi Ka'omar. And immediately we look at Rashi, Hochi Ka'omar, Rashi, second line from the bottom, Klomar, V'chulach Chad Tanahu. the Mishnah, meaning the beginning of the Mishnah, and as you go on to Rabbi Yehuda, really one opinion. It's all Rabbi Yehuda. It's one Tana. And you read the Mishnah as follows. Hochi komar. Afapi shributa oser. Notice when we dashed underline oser because the word oser appeared in our Mishnah, in the original Mishnah. We have to account for that word. So the reading is as follows. Afapi shributa oser ger bemamzeres. Even though Rabbi Yehuda prohibits a ger from marrying a mamzeres. Hani mili ger de roy lovo bakohol. That's when you're dealing with a convert that had the option of marrying into the rank and file Jewish people. Avol ger amonia moavi de enri in lovo bakohol. A male convert from Amonu Moav that are not allowed to marry into the rank and file Jewish pedigree population. Lo, there he Rabbi Yehuda would not have prohibited him from a mamzeres. I hope we didn't overlook mentioning earlier that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion when he says that a ger is also be mamzeres, that's a function of Rabbi Yehuda categorizing Gerim as a kahal. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda holds kahal gerim ikri kahal. But as we just saw, that's all fine and good when you're dealing with a type of ger that can marry into the kahal. So he's part of the kahal. But if it's a type of ger, like a ger amoni, that cannot marry into the kahal, he doesn't get the label of kahal Gerim as being a kahal, and hence the Ger Amoni, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, is allowed to marry a mamzeres. Before we continue, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading. The Nose Gimel Shitos Tanoim. Three Tanaic opinions beinyan Eza Bias Isur Pseles Mikahuna. What type of illicit intimacy renders a woman unfit to marry the kahuna, into the kahuna? Number one, Imbal al Bas Kohen, Posla Minatruma, Neseris Milisa the Kohen, Imbal al Bas Yisrael, Nesra Milisa the Kohen. In our discussion, or in our presentation of these three Shitas Tanayim, we'll be speaking about forbidden intimacies. If the forbidden intimacy is with a Bas Kohen, with the daughter of a Kohen, it will have a double effect. It will render her unfit to eating Truma, and also prevent her from being able to marry a Kohen. If the illicit intimacy is with a Bas Yisrael, now, she doesn't eat Truma in the first place. She's the daughter of Yisrael. It will have the effect of preventing her from, disqualifying her from ever marrying a Kohen. The Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan, Ben Teish Yishonim V'yomechod, Ger Amoni U'moavi Mitzri V'adomi Kusi V'nosin Cholul U'mamzer. Here we have a long list of people. A person converted to Judaism from Amon, Moav, Mitzri, Adomi, these are different nations, a Kusi, Nosin, a Cholol, Mamzer. So all of these are, we're describing males that have reached 9 years, 9 complete years of age. Shebo al Hakehenes, Valavia, Vabas Yisrael, Poslua. Intimacy with a 9-year-old male having any of these identities with a girl that's of Jewish pure pedigree, whether she's a Kehenes, a Levia, or a Bas Yisrael, Pasua, they've rendered her unfit. As we explained earlier, if it's a Kehenes, not only can she not marry a Kohen, she's also prohibited from continuing eating Truma. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Now we're going to encounter Rabbi Yossi and later Rav Shimon Gamliel. They're going to say things that are initially appear a bit obscure, but as we go on in the Gemara, their opinions will become much clearer. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Shezaro Posel, Posel. Anyone whose seed, whose children, are Posel, they're unfit to the Kuna. So a person like that, a person whose seed is unfit to the Kuna, Posel. That means his intimacy with a woman would render her unfit to the Kuna. V'chol she'ein zaro posul, eino posel. And any man whose children, whose seed is not unqualified or disqualified from the kuna, his intimacy with a woman will not render her unfit. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, and here we continue at the top of Daf Ayin Hey. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel's rule is kol sha'ata. It says, the word ato is addressing a kohen. So anyone who you, the kohen, kol sha'ato noisei bito, if you can marry the daughter of such a man, ato noisei almanosei, you would be allowed, you the kohen would be allowed to marry that man's widow. The kol sha'ato noisei bito, if it's a man whose daughter you would not be allowed to marry, I ato noisei almanosei, you would not be allowed to marry the widow of such a man. Once again, I mentioned earlier, examples, concrete examples of this will appear as we go on through the Gemara. We have a new marking, the volcano shape. It's explained on this side under the Mivnet. Ma'ika bein, etc. Ha'gemara mevio es ha'evdelin bein shitei satanayim shuvu b'braisa b'seif ayin dalam ebeis. The Gemara will point out differences between each one of these opinions. So as you go through the Gemara, you'll see how the Gemara contrasts the first opinion with Rabbi Yossi, and then later you notice the next volcano shape will contrast Rabbi Yossi with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. We've introduced another marking, a double underline, to highlight a repeating theme. And that is that Ushnehem, the two of them are the two Tanoim that will be contrasting with one another as we evaluate these three opinions. So we'll be taking two and then another two. Ushnehem lo lamdua ela mikayin godol ba'amona. We'll see that they develop their respective rules using as an archetype the case of an almona marrying a kohen gadol. Kohen gadol is prohibited in marrying a widow. The Torah prohibits a kohen gadol from such a union. What we're going to be looking at, or I might even say scrutinizing, are the details of that relationship. That so far is a bit abstract, but as we go in the Gemara, as we say very often, things will become much clearer. So now we continue the Gemara, third line from the top. My iko bein tanakamo ubein Rabbi Yossi. As far as what they said, you just look back. We just read the source in which their opinions appeared. What will be a point of difference between them? Notice we have a long answer. Omer b'yochanan, mitzri sheni iko binayu. A second generation Egyptian convert. There's a case where a man from Egypt converted to Judaism. And he married, just to keep things simple, he married a woman who also converted, an Egyptian woman who converted to Judaism. That's a Mitzri Rishon. The child that they have is called a Mitzri Sheni. A Mitzri Sheni cannot marry into the rank and file Jewish people. He can marry another one with his background, a woman who's a mitzris shnia. Now, they, upon having a child, that child is now would be a third generation. That's called a mitzri shlishi. A mitzri shlishi is allowed by the Torah to marry into the Jewish people. The Gemara continues. The Tanakama Sovar. The Tanakama develops a rule, Ki Kaingolo Bamona, like patterning the case of a Kaingolo Bamona. This is the reason we had underlined Ushnei and Lolom Duel Mikaingolo Bamona. Both of them, Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama, developed their rules based on the case of Kaingolo Bamona. Tanakama Sovar, Ki Kaingolo Bamona. What are the characteristics of the Kaingolo Bamona relationship that the Tanakama emphasizes? Ma koyin gadol ba'almona should be also ba'avera uposel ba. The koyin gadol having intimacy with the almona is, first of all, it's a sin, and it posel ba, it renders her unfit to the kahuna. She can no longer marry a regular kohen. Af kol should be also bavera posel. So to any case where a woman is participant in intimacy, which is sinful, which is an avera, it will render her unfit to the kuna. V'Reb Yossi Sovar, ki koyin gadol b'almona. Reb Yossi, he has a different opinion, and he develops a rule also based on Kohen Gadol Bamona, but he emphasizes some other facet. Ma Kohen Gadol Bamona Shezaro Posel Uposel. A Kohen Gadol Bamona, if they have a child, if they have a daughter, the daughter is a Chalola, she is Posel. She cannot marry a Kohen. A Kohen Gadol Bamona, if they have a son, likewise he's a Cholol, he's not a Kohen. So just like a Kohen Gadol Bamona, where the child is posel, uposel, that means the Kohen Gadol rendered the Almona herself unfit to the kahuna. Af kol, so to any other relationship that has this characteristic, shezaro posel, posel. We're going to show you now what we mentioned before, but we didn't focus too much on it. We're going to show you now an example of someone that, according to Rabbi Yossi, will not render a woman unfit, even though there's intimacy that has sin to it. La fuke mitzri sheni, to the exclusion of the case of the second generation mitzri convert that has relations with a bas Yisrael. Is that a sin? Yes. Why? Because a Mitzri Sheni is not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. However, he will not render her unfit to the kuna. Why not? She'ein Zaro Posel. His seed, his children are not Posel. Dioma Kro, the Posek says, Bonim Asher Yivoldu Lem Dor Shlishi Yovo Lohem Bekal Hashem. The third generation is allowed to marry into the Jewish people. So the Mitzri Sheni is according to Reb Yossi, an example, or I should say, is a Mitzri Sheni is the point of difference between the Tanakama and Reb Yossi. According to the Tanakama, whose rule is, if the intimacy is prohibited, the woman is thereby rendered unfit to the guna. A Mitzri Sheni, his intimacy with a Jewish woman, he can't marry her. That's a sinful act. She's rendered unfit to the kuna. Reb Yossi focused on an additional aspect of the Kohen Gadol Bamona, and that is the children being unfit. Ah, but the child of a Mitzri Sheni, if he marries a Mitzri Shniya, his child is not unfit. He's not posel to the kuna. Therefore, the intimacy between a Mitzri Sheni and a Bas Yisrael does not render her, that woman, unfit to the kuna, because his zera is not unfit to the kuna. We quote from the original source, Reb Shmuel Leloi Mer Kol She'atanoisei Bito, atanoisei Amenosei. V'chol She'i atanoisei Es Bito, I atanoisei Amenosei. If you can marry the man's daughter, you can marry the man's widow. In other words, his intimacy with the woman did not render her unfit. Why? Well, since you can marry his daughter, you can marry his widow. If you can't marry the daughter, then you can't marry his widow. My Iko Bein Rabbi Yosef Shimon Leo. What's going to be the point of difference between Rabbi Shimon Leo and Rabbi Yossi? We have an answer. Notice we have a long answer. My Iko Bein Rabbi Yosef Shimon Leo Omar Ulo Ger Amoni Umoavi Iko Binayu. What effect would the Ger Amoni? He's an Ammonite man that converted to Judaism. Now, he's not allowed to marry into the rank and file Jewish people. What effect would his intimacy have with a woman? Would she be rendered unfit to the kahuna? So that's going to be a point of difference. And both of them learned their respective positions from the case of Kohen Gadol Ba'amona. We pattern our rule. What kind of woman is rendered unfit through prohibited intimacy? From the case of Kohen Gadol Ba'amona. Ma Kohen Gadol Ba'amona shezaroi posel uposel. Kohen Gadol Ba'amona, well, his children, whether it be boys or girls, they're unfit to the kohuna. And the Kohen Gadol renders the almona unfit to the kohuna. Afkol, anyone else that has these same characteristics, Shezaro Posel, so anyone else whose seed is unfit, whose offspring is unfit, will render the woman that he has intimacy with unfit to the kuna. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, his approach is Kohen Gadol Ba'amona also looks at Kohen Gadol Ba'amona. And he says, Ma Kohen Gadol Ba'amona Shekol Zaro Posel. Kohen Gadol that has intimacy with an Amona and has children, whether they're Zecharim or Nekevis, whether male or female, they're Posel, they're unfit to the Kuna. Af Kol, so to any other man that has this characteristic, Shekol Zaro Posel, Afilu Nekevis, he will render a woman through his intimacy unfit to the kuna. Now, is there someone that doesn't fit this bill? Is there someone that has an element of Zera Posel, but not all of them, not males and females? Lafuke Gera Monia Moavi, Denekevas Havuk Shereslova Bakol. A man from Ammon converts to Judaism. And he marries a woman that he's allowed to marry. It's not important right now to focus on who she is. A Ger Amoni marries a woman that he's allowed to marry, and they have a son. If they have a son, he is called an Amoni. He's a Ger. He's also called a Ger Amoni. He's not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. However, if they have a daughter, she is allowed to marry into the Jewish people. The Nekevos, the females from Ammon, are allowed to marry to the Jewish people. Diomar Ammoni velo Ammonis, Moavi velo Moavis. When the Torah prohibits people from Ammon and Moav marrying into the rank and file Jewish people, the Torah specifies them in the male form, Ammoni, but not Ammonis. The female equivalent is not prohibited in marrying into the Jewish people. So, just to review the last point, what kind of man will be the point of difference between Rabbi Yosef Shimon Leo as a result of his intimacy with a Jewish woman? That, according to one, that woman will be unfit to the kuna, and according to the other, no. The point of difference would be the intimacy a Ger Amoni has with a Jewish woman. According to Rabbi Yosef, he has the effect of prohibiting the woman with whom he has intimacy into eventually marrying the kahuna. Why? Because the Ger Amoni's seed, some aspect of his children are posel, are unfit to marry into the rank and file Jewish people. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, on the other hand, says, only one that we can describe like a Kohen Gadol with an Almona where all of his seed is prohibited to is considered pasul. But a ger amoni, we don't say all of his seed, all of his children are pasul. Only the male children are pasul, the female children are not. Therefore, a ger amoni that has intimacy with a Jewish woman will not render her unfit to the kuna. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a point. You'll notice we have a long point marking. Omar Rav Chisda, Hakol Moedim Be'almonas Isa Shepsula Lekuhuna. They say Hakol Moedim, everyone agrees that this kind of woman, Almonas Isa, literally the widow of dough. The literal translation is totally meaningless, but we said it anyway. Almonas Isa, she is unfit to the kuna. Now, we didn't explain what an Almonas Isa is. There's a variety of opinions in the commentaries as to what an Almonas Isa is. So, we're just going to choose one of the different commentaries. Imagine a man that we'll call a Safek Cholol. We don't know whether he's a Cholol or not. His father married a woman that maybe she was a Grusha, maybe she was an Almona. The child, therefore, that man, a Kohen, married a woman that we don't know whether she was a Grusha or she was an Almona. If she was a Grusha, so their child is a Cholol. If the Kohen married an Almona, not talking about a Kohen, called a regular Kohen rather, married an Almona, the child is a kosher Kohen. So you have a fellow, a boy, whose father married a woman that we don't know, was she a Grusha or was she an Almona. This boy is called a Safek Cholol. He grows up and marries a woman. And then he dies. She is the Almona. She's the widow of a Safek Cholol. She is what we call a Almonas Isa. Isa dough has things, has ingredients mixed in. With regard to this Almona, there are a number of factors that are mixed in. First of all, her husband's identity, was he a Cholol or not? That's a Safek. And she, having had intimacy with her problem is something that stems from him. You know, she's not inherently problematic, but because she had intimacy with him, she is, she's also, will stay tainted. The Gemara will refer to this by the term Sfeik Sfeika. It's hard to say in general Talmudic terms that this would be the classic case of Sfeik Sfeika, but it's a case of problem that's not obvious. There's a certain element of weakness, so to speak, but nevertheless, Rav Chisda says everyone agrees. Hakol Moedim. By the way, we've dashed underline Hakol Moedim, and we call this Aleph. There's another approach later on, and we've labeled it Bays on the third wide line. It'll become clear what we're trying to do with these markings when we get there. So Rav Chisda says Hakol Moedim Ba'almonas Isa Shepsula Lekuna. She cannot marry a Kohen. Explanation. Man Mekal Bahani Tanoi. Amongst the Tanoim that we saw earlier, who would you say is the most lenient? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. We saw Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, he wasn't so quick to have a woman rendered unfit to the kuna. He said that in order for a woman to be rendered unfit to the kuna, he has to be that kind of person that all of his seed, males and females, would be pasul. If only the males are pasul, but the females are not pasul, so a man like that, the Ger Amoni, he doesn't render a woman unfit to the Kuna. So Rebbe Shulam Liel, he was presented as, we'll say, the most lenient opinion. Vika Omar, and Rebbe Shimon Ben Gamliel says, this is a quote from Rebbe Shulam Liel. Here, we have a little star to the side of the Mark text. This is from the top line. Rebbe Shulam Liel's name appeared at the bottom of Ayin Dalem and Beis. So you realize this is Rebbe Shulam Liel. He says, Kol Sha'ata Noisei Bito, Ata Noise Amenosai. V'chol She'i Ata Noise Bito, I Ata Noise Amenosai. He gave us a rule that if you can marry the daughter, then you can marry the widow. If you can't marry the daughter, you can't marry the widow. Lemute Mai, who is being excluded, who is being considered, who in this rule is being referred to as unfit. Lemute Amonas Isa Shepsula Lekahuna. The Almona that Rav Shimon Liel is attempting to exclude from being kosher to the Kuna is the case of Almonas Isa. That is Rav Chisda's approach. Rav Chisda's approach is to claim that all Tanoim will hold that the Almonas Isa is Psula Kuna. Well, that approach is La Fuke Midahani Tanoi. To the exclusion of the following Tanoim. Disnan. Heyed Rabbi Yeshua of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, they testified, Al Amonas Isa Shekshera Lekuna, that an Almonas Isa is allowed to marry into the Kahuna. She can marry a Kohen husband. My Taima. Why? Have a sfake sfeika. The Amonas Isa has several layers of doubt. Sfake sfeika lekula, when you have a double suffake, so we rule leniently. So that Rav Chisda's approach was hakol modim. He seemed to give an unqualified, unanimous acceptance of Almonas Isa's being puzzled to the Kuna. Well, that approach is, we'll say, at odds with this approach that suggests that there are Tanoim that don't agree with Rav Chisda's sweeping claim that Almonas Isa is kosher in the Kuna. Personally, I want to leave room for a different explanation, and that is that Rav Chisda said Hakol Modim, everyone agrees, but even Rav Chisda himself took into consideration that the Hakol Modim is itself qualified. Hakol Modim might be a reference to the Tanoim that we mentioned earlier, all the Tanoim that we mentioned earlier, to the exclusion of these other Tanoim that recognize Almonas Isa as being kosher lekuna, and with this explanation, we're not necessarily pitting Rav Chisda up against another approach, but within Rav Chisda, his own Hakol Modim was to include a group of Tanoim, but not all Tanoim, literally. And as far as the term sfeik sfeika, we mentioned earlier that there are different explanations. The approach we took was that the husband himself had a suffolk, and we weren't focusing on him so much as the woman who had been married to him. She was widowed, and therefore she's represents one step removed, a further step removed from the problem by virtue of the fact that she had simply been married to the suffolk problem. So the husband was the first level of suffolk, and she being a step removed, being merely the widow of such a man, it's called sfeik sfeika. And as the Gemara concluded, that's the basis for their leniency, because when you have this element of multiple sfeikis or distancing from original problem, we can be lenient. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.